Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
So as we go into my three this morning, I want to share something I read about 2 weeks ago, and it's by Lewis Schaeffer. And in his book called True Evangelism, it says, fundamentally, then, the personal elements in true soul-winning work is more a service of pleading for souls than a service of pleading with souls. It's talking with God about men from a clean heart in the power of the Spirit rather than talking to men about God. You know, one of the things when we come together is that we pray for those who don't know Jesus, because we know that we can talk until we're blue in the face, but it's Jesus that saves others. It's not us. And that's why we have this time of My Three. That's why we take this time to lift up those in our community who don't know Jesus. And we know that God hears our prayers, He answers our prayers, and He's done some mighty works already in transforming other people's lives. So in this moment, what I want you guys to do is to think of those three people in your life that don't know Jesus. I want you to think about those people and lift them up by name this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for this opportunity to come before You and lift up our friends and family that don't know Jesus, that don't know You, that aren't walking in relationship with You. Lord, we know that we are powerless without You, that we're not the ones who transform hearts and minds, but You are. And Lord, we lift them up by name at this time. We hand them over to You, knowing that God is the one, that You're the one who can do it all. Lord, create in them a new heart. And Father, lay it on our hearts to continue to share Your word, not just in words, but in actions. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I remember who I was. I just come before you this morning. We say thank you that we can sing 1,000 hallelujahs of yours. You are so good to us, so worthy of our praise. You're so good. So, Father, we just say thank you that we can come before you this morning and just worship you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, church. Man, it's good to be here this morning. I don't know about you guys, but fighting through the cold and the snow this week has not been on my list of things I was looking to accomplish. But I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I want to welcome our guests that are joining us this morning. I also want to welcome those that are joining us online in the radio. We are truly thankful for each and every one of you. But before we dive into the message this morning, if you guys haven't figured out, we're big on prayer here. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your words and the wisdom that you give us through them. Lord, I ask that this morning that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Lord, I ask that you are glorified in all of this. Lord, that you may walk with us and that you may open our hearts and minds. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, this morning, as we prepare to dive into the Word, we're going to be over in John chapter 9 again, where we're going to be closing out the story of the blind man that was healed by Jesus. We're going to be in verses 35 to 41 for anyone that wants to follow along. And what a story it has been. I mean, the whole thing started off with a man that was born blind. This is someone who never would have been able to see the beauty of God's creation. This is someone that never would have been able to see his parents or the loved ones' faces. His entire life, he would have had to rely on the kindness of strangers just to survive. We also need to understand that he would have been looked down on throughout his entire life. And since he was born by blind, people perceived that the blindness was a punishment for either his parents' sins or even possibly his own sin in his mother's womb. And that's why last week at the end of the passage, after he had had that time with the Pharisees, they looked at him just before they threw him out and called and blamed him of being entirely born of sin. And because they saw him as such a sinful man, because they believe he was born in sin, they couldn't stand listening to him and everything he was saying. Yet this was a man that had an encounter with Jesus, an extremely powerful encounter, one where not only his physical sight was restored, but also his spiritual sight, where he began to understand the greater things of Christ. You know, in the beginning when he had that encounter with Jesus, Jesus made mud, placed it on his eyes, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And it was in that moment that he had to make a choice. He could either listen to this man named Jesus, or he could continue down the path that he was already on. He had a choice that he had to make in that moment. And at this particular point in time, he didn't know a lot about Jesus. I'm sure he had heard some rumblings, he had heard some stories about Jesus, of people passing by, but he didn't have a full understanding of Christ. Yet in this moment, he chose to listen to what Jesus asked him to do. He went and he washed as he was instructed. And it was in that moment after he washed that his sight was restored, that his entire life was restored. And everybody was asking, who and how? Who did this and how did they do it? I want you guys to think about that for a second. In a single day, his entire life was radically changed. He went from being a disabled outcast to a celebrity in his own community who had miraculously received his sight. All of it in a day. He went from begging on the streets to proclaiming that Jesus was the one who transformed his life. Because of this, we saw in the passage last week that he was dragged into the courts and treated as a criminal, where they were trying to get him to denounce what Jesus did. They were trying to get him to stop talking about what Jesus had done in his life. And when he wouldn't do it, what they asked of him, they threw him out of the synagogues once again. he became an outcast once more. You know, over the last couple of weeks, as I kept reading through this story over and over again, I just truly find it this amazing story. And not just because the blind man suddenly got his sight back. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? The idea that he was blind and now that he can see. And that's incredible. But the amount of faith he showed with as little as he knew from the beginning. You know, in the beginning, he only knew the name of Jesus. He didn't understand who he was or what he looked like. He simply knew the name of Jesus and what he had done in his life. Yet as the story continued last week, we saw that he had a shift from just proclaiming Jesus to proclaiming that Jesus was a prophet. And when he was standing in the courts, he understood that it was that he was about to be an outcast once again. That he had lived a life of fame for less than 24 hours. Yet he refused to denounce Jesus. And he was willing to become an outcast for the sake of Christ. He counted the cost and he thought it worth it. And this morning we see him taking that final step of walking with Christ and understanding who he truly is. That Jesus is more than a good teacher. He's more than a prophet. That he is the long-awaited Messiah, that he is God himself. And his eyes were open in more than one way. And we see that in the text today. So let's dive in this morning and let's take a look at the very first text, starting with verse 35, where it says, Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out. And when he found him, he asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The blind man had taken a bold stance for the sake of Jesus. He wasn't concerned what the people around him thought or accused him of. He stuck to his testimony about what Jesus had done in his life, and they threw him out of the synagogue. If you recall from the text last week, if somebody is thrown out of the synagogue, they basically were exiled from the community. Not only were they not able to go and worship, but they were not allowed to eat with their family and friends anymore. They wouldn't be allowed to do business with those in the community around them. He actually would have been worse off inside of this moment after being thrown out of the synagogue than he was as a blind man. And I'm sure he sat there contemplating everything inside of that moment, understanding where he was at and wondering why, God. Why? You've done all this amazing stuff in my life, only for me to be back in the same position, if not worse than before. He had physical sight restored. This should be a joyous time in his life. But he probably felt more alone inside of this moment than ever before. I think many of us can relate to the blind man in this moment. We've had the highs, the highest of highs, only to find ourselves in the lowest of lows. Everything in life is going so well, only to find ourselves struggling to understand what's going on around us. And it was in this moment that we see Jesus seeking him out once again. Seeking him out in this moment of need, just like Christ does for us. You know, it never fails to blow me away on the way that God shows up. Over and over again. He stands there with us even in our darkest of times. And after Jesus finds him, he asks him a simple question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And what Jesus is asking him inside of this moment is, do you believe in the Messiah? We have to remember this man had never seen Jesus' face. Every interaction he had with Jesus up to this point in time, he was still blind. So we don't know if he recognized Jesus. There's a high probability he recognized his voice, but we don't know for sure. But when Jesus asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? He immediately understood the phrase that was being asked here. He would have heard in the synagogue throughout his entire life. See, over in Daniel chapter 7, it refers to the coming Messiah as the Son of Man. And that he would have dominion over the world and we're called to serve and worship him. The blind man recognized that he needed the Messiah in this moment, that he needed the Messiah in his life. And so he responds in verse 36 and says, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him, he asked. The blind man recognized that he had nothing on his own. He understood that his life was a mess at that particular moment, and the only thing that could change it is the Messiah, Jesus. Nothing in his own power or ability was going to change his circumstances at that time. You know, a lot of times we can find ourselves in difficult moments and we start looking to the world for answers, right? We start looking all around us on what we can find. We go to self-help books and there's thousands, if not millions of them out there. In the world we live in today, we have people on antidepressants more so than ever before. The suicide rate in America is on a continuous climb. Many self-medicate with drugs and alcohol to numb the pain. All of it to try to find an escape from the reality in which they find themselves in. Others turn to their friends or family looking for advice, only to find that they're as lost as they are. You know, the world says that we need cars, houses, a particular job title, all these things to find joy in our lives. And I'm sure the blind man was trying to figure out, how can I get myself back up? And as we search the world and we explore all the options, what happens? We come up empty-handed over and over again, don't we? No matter what we turn to in the world, it never seems to bring that satisfaction within us. But Jesus tells us in the Bible over and over, come to me. You know, it tells us in the Bible that if we're worried and burdened, that he will give us rest. It tells us in the Bible that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It tells us blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The list goes on and on when Jesus says, come to me. These are all promises that God gives us if we turn to him. Just as the blind man was in this moment. And you know, and it's not until we recognize the need for Jesus that things begin to change. It doesn't mean that we'll have everything figured out right away. It doesn't mean that we'll have all the answers for life inside of those moments. But it means that we will find peace and joy in our life once again. But it requires us to surrender to God and worship him alone. You see, once we recognize our need for him, as the blind man did, we start to understand who he is more and more. We've seen that the blind man in this passage, he understood the need for the Messiah. So what did he do? He asked who he was. Jesus responds in verse 37, and he said, you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. I'm going to tell you today, no matter where you're at in life, if you're looking for Jesus, he will reveal himself to you. You don't have to go searching high and low to find him. You don't need to go to the end of the earth to discover who Jesus is. You simply need to ask. You know, the blind man asked who the Messiah was, and Jesus immediately revealed himself, didn't he? I know as Christians, we often like to use that terminology, finding Jesus, right? That's something like, they found Jesus. They're all excited. You know, it's a way that we explain coming into relationship with him. Is this idea that we have found Jesus. And I don't have a problem with that, but I want us to remember one thing. The truth is, it's the other way around. Jesus was never lost. We're the ones that are lost. You know, in the beginning of the story, we didn't see the blind man going out and searching for Jesus, did we? He was sitting there trying to understand what was going on, but it told us that Jesus went searching for him. And let me tell you, that's still the same today. Jesus is in pursuit of each of us this morning because he wants a relationship with each of us this morning. He wants to transform our life from the inside out. And he's willing to go even into those darkest of moments with us to find us. You don't have to get your life together first. You don't need to clean up your act. Jesus will come to you right where you're at. But we have to be willing to do as the blind man did in the story and turn to him and ask. And when Jesus reveals himself to you, you also have to do what the blind man did in verse 38. The very first thing he says is, I believe, Lord, he said, and he worshiped him. He didn't hold back. He immediately professed his faith in Jesus. He understood that that is what he had to do. We have to be willing to acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. You know, for us to be saved, the Bible tells us in Acts 16:31, It says, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. It tells us over in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. And it tells us in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And let me tell you, that list of saying that goes on and on and on. But the point I'm trying to make is it requires us to have faith in who Jesus is for us to see salvation. Not who we want Jesus to be, but for who he is. And when Jesus revealed himself to the blind man, it tells us that he immediately, inside of that moment, he believed and he worshiped him. He may have been kicked out of the synagogue. He may have lost all the other areas of his life, but he found that truth in Christ. He found that peace and joy in there, and he found true worship. He found Jesus. You know, just because we come to church doesn't mean that we have true worship. It doesn't mean that we have a true relationship with Jesus. Just because we sing some songs doesn't mean that we found true worship or a true relationship with Jesus. And just because we read our Bibles doesn't mean that we have found true worship or a real relationship with Jesus. You know, anyone can sing some songs. Anyone can repeat some scriptures and hang out with people. But true worship is from the heart. It acknowledges Jesus as Lord and King of our lives. And when we come to him, it requires a response from us. And as we respond and worship him, the more we get to know him, the truth of God is revealed. You know, our journey with God is not just a single moment of time. It starts in a moment, but our knowledge and wisdom of him grows. And the more that grows, the deeper our relationship with him becomes. And as we worship and we praise him, we'll just continue to grow inside of that. And as he worshiped Jesus, it tells us in verse 39, Jesus said, "Come into the world." Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind." You know, we live in a world where people have different ideas of God, where they have this preconceived notions of God. And often the way that they approach God is based on these preconceived notions of God. For example, on one hand, we have this preconceived notion of God that is a loving and forgiving God, that no matter what we do, we are forgiving. Which, don't get me wrong, he is a forgiving God. He is a loving God. He cares for us, and he wants a relationship with us. But the problem is we often use that excuse of that forgiveness to continue in our sin, to not live that transformed life. We use this idea of God to justify our ability to keep sinning. We don't want to change. We don't want to have a transformed life. We want to continue life just the way that it is, which always amazes me. We know all of the hope and the glory and everything that Jesus gave for us. And walking in relationship, we know that those boundaries that God has given us is so that we can have a joyous and to try to remove some of the evil in the world around us. But so often we want to continue to walk in the other way. We want to stay in our old life. We want the rewards of Jesus, but we don't want to actually follow Jesus. And it's a decision that we have to make. And because of that, we try to defend our sin to the very end. I remember a conversation I had with a brother one time that I went up to and I talked to him about something. And the very first thing he brought up is, "Ye without sin, cast the first stone and make sure that you pluck your own out, the log out of your own eye before you worry." And it was amazing to me on how fast he got defensive, because it wasn't a conversation of you're going to hell. It was more of a, "Brother, I love you. I got to tell you this." And it's so quick that those can happen, because we want to defend our sin to the end. And when we start getting into that mindset where we have this preconceived notion of God and not the fullness of God, and we don't expect this holiness and living, it actually allows us to become spiritually blind, where we don't see the fullness of everything. Paul actually writes about this in Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, where he says, "I can testify about them that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, since they are ignorant of the righteousness of God and attempt to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted to God's righteousness." You know, often people who fall into this category, in even many other categories of different views of God, have a passion for their version of God. They have a desire for their version of God, but the problem is they often have no actual knowledge of God. They've picked and chosen the parts of the Bible that they like, but they're not willing to submit fully to God. You know, often what we do is we establish our own righteousness. They have established their own set of rules. They've ignored the perfect standard that God has for us. So often we try to justify sin. We try to rewrite the scriptures to mean what we want them to mean, and we ignore the stuff we don't like. But here's the deal. The Bible, God's word, is made to transform us. We are not made to transform God's word. We don't get to pick and choose what we like and what we don't like. We don't get to pick and choose what fits our political party, what fits our personal views. We don't get to pick any of that. All of it is God's word. And it's supposed to transform us. We're not supposed to transform it. And when we declare that Jesus is Lord, we're saying we're submitting to him. That he is the master and kings of our life. That means that we're going to put aside our own wants and desires and that we lift up Christ. And when we don't do that, we're unwilling to see the truth, then we will remain spiritually blind. We may feel we know it all, that our eyes are open, but in reality, we know nothing. On the other hand, if we're willing to humble ourselves, if we're willing to seek God and allow him to do a new work inside of us, when we're willing to admit that we are blind and we don't know everything, Jesus is saying that our sight will be restored, that we will gain knowledge and wisdom of who he truly is, gain knowledge and wisdom of what the lives that he's called us to live. The blind man, for an example, was willing to do that. He was willing to go humbly himself and worship Jesus. He was willing to count the cost to follow Jesus. You know, some of the Pharisees were around as Jesus was talking to the blind man. And I'm sure they were curious as to what Jesus would do next. And they overheard this conversation that he was having. And it tells us in verse 40, some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and asked him, "We aren't blind too, are we?" You see, the Pharisees were not willing to submit or acknowledge that they were blind, that they were spiritually blind. They weren't willing to admit that they had got it wrong. They were relying on their own understanding, their own preconceived notions of who they believed God to be. They had this view of God that they had to earn his favor, that they had to work their way into heaven. And the way they did it was through following a bunch of rules. That as long as they followed these rules, everything would be okay. And they looked down on anyone they felt wasn't able to keep the law the same as them. Jesus responds to them in verse 41. And he says, "If you were blind," Jesus told them, "you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." You see, because they were relying on their own understanding, relying on their own way of doing things, they were stuck in their sin. They were spiritually blind. For us to get out of that pit of spiritual blindness, we have to be willing to admit that we don't know everything. We have to be willing to acknowledge that when it comes to the standards of God, we come up short on our own. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it written, "There is no one righteous, no, not even one." Meaning that none of us are perfect, that we all have flaws in our lives. We all have sin that overpowers us. And God knows that. He knows from the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, he was going to have to make a way where there was absolutely no other way. But God loves us so much that he gave his one and only son to die on the cross so that you and I could have eternal life. He loves us so much that he wants a relationship with us, that he pursues us even into the deepest, darkest moments of our lives. And he reaches out his hand to us and he offers us a new life. It's not something we've earned. It's not something that we get to brag about, how somehow we were good enough. It's simply a free gift from our Heavenly Father that loves us. But here's the deal. It requires an action step. God does require one action step from us. That's the one thing, and that is that we accept that free gift of salvation, that we're willing to allow him to come into our lives and transform us from the inside out. You know, this week I want you guys to think back through everything that God has shown you and done in your life. I want you to think through everything that you know about God, and I want you to ask him, does this line up with your word? You know, so often we rely on our own understanding. How many people's Bibles are dusty at home? Because we're unwilling to open it up. We're unwilling to spend that time with him and to even engage further. We like to look at God as this genie in a bottle that'll answer our prayers. That all we have to do is say a prayer one time and we continue living life. And it's almost like we're scared to learn more about who he is because our lives may have to change. But if we look at the blind man, we look at the story and the examples that he's given us. Here was a man that had nothing, and Jesus gave him everything. Here was a man that was willing to count the cost. Even after Jesus restored his sight, he could have been like everyone else in his community. But he said, no, I want more, and I have to proclaim Jesus. And Jesus came and found him exactly where he was. So I want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you're at in your walk, I want you to search Jesus. I want you to search for him. And I want you to ask him to reveal himself to you in a deeper, more meaningful way. That requires prayer. That requires being in his word. And with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the beauty of your creation. I thank you for the work that you've done in our lives. Lord, I ask that you watch over us. And that he open our hearts and our minds to see who you truly are. Lord, I ask that you continue to do a new work in each one of us, that you may remove the blinders that we have on. Father, that we understand that we need you to restore our sight, that we can't do it alone. And I thank you for your goodness and the way that you pursue us. And I pray that in Jesus' name.
It is well.
as you go out this week, may God's grace, peace, and mercy fall on each of you. May your eyes be open to what God needs to show you. And may you continue to grow in knowledge and wisdom of Him. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.